You may be seated. The sermon this morning comes from John chapter 17. We'll be looking at verse 14 this morning. That's John 17, verse 14. John 17, 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, cause us to see the reality that you speak. Give us hearts to rejoice in this reality, to feel in accordance with this reality, and to live in accordance with this reality, that you would be glorified in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Divisions among people is the reality, or a reality, of life. I remember as a child, we would be driving down the road and someone would pull out in front of us and my father would have to hit the brakes and he would mumble under his breath something like, West Virginia drivers. Any opportunity that someone had when they saw someone that they imagined was someone that was backwoods, we would imagine that they were from West Virginia. If someone drove poorly, we imagined that they were from West Virginia. There was this division between West Virginia and Ohio, and it's simply the Ohio River. This Ohio River somehow made a lesser people on the east side than on the west side, was the thinking in my life. Well, as we grew up, we began to learn that it was actually the West Virginia people actually looked down on Ohio people as well. My brother had opportunity to work on the New River Gorge in West Virginia, and yesterday he began to tell me how much they made fun of Ohio people. There were slurs for Ohio people. There were stories about Ohio people. There were jokes about Ohio people. One of them was, what is a Buckeye? And the answer is, a Buckeye is nothing but a worthless nut. The Buckeye being the symbol of being from Ohio. Now, as we look at the scriptures here, we see the idea that there is a division in the Christian life. It says, they are not of the world, that there is some separation, or there is some division between you and between the world. Another division we had growing up, we had spring water, and we thought spring water was it. Spring water was the best. And when we had city water, we'd say, city water. It was something that was putrid or disgusting to us. Never mind that we would oftentimes hike down to our spring house and catch salamanders and frogs from our own drinking water. Still, somehow, city water was worse than ours. Well, when we moved to Eastvale, all of a sudden we found ourselves in the setting where we had to drink city water all of the time. City water, city water, city water. And one of the exciting things was when we were moving to Chippewa, we thought, well, maybe we won't have city water anymore. And when we moved to Chippewa, I asked the neighbor, where does this water come from? They shrugged and said, Eastvale. The pump down at the bottom, south end of town, pumps all the way up to Beaver Falls and supplies Chippewa even with this water. So we found ourselves then in a situation where we imagined that we were divided and there was this separation, but we weren't separated as we thought. Yet we were very separated. The Christian life, this division that we have, having been separated from the world as God speaks about it, we find ourselves, as we still continue to wrestle with sin, the struggles, the pains, and the things that come upon us, we find ourselves not as separated as we thought. But here the Scripture says we're more separated than we can imagine. So we have this wrestling then. In what way am I still a part of the world? Or in what way, or how do these things still come upon me? And yet we're told here, in accordance with Scripture, that they are not of the world. You are not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world. Can there be a more dramatic separation for you then? That you're not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world. And when we think of the world, we're not thinking of the beauty of creation at this point, but we're thinking of a sinful structure, a world in rebellion against God, a world in hatred for God, a world that ultimately goes to destruction, separated from the Holy One who lives in beauty and light and lives in perfect obedience. He says, you're like me in beauty and in light and in perfect obedience, separated from the world. This place of rebellion, this place of destruction, this place that will be undone. So what is the thing that divides us then? In my life, it was the dirty Ohio River came down through the middle of Ohio and West Virginia. What is the thing that divides us here to be with Christ and to be apart from the world? Well, the beauty is, and the reality is, this division has occurred by love. We're divided from the world by love. That is, Christ's love and grace placed upon you has divided you from this world of destruction. Now what we're dealing with, and we're in the series about the unity of the church, and part of our unity as church is in having been set apart, having been removed from the world. And we see our unity in this light, but this only occurs as we live out the reality of this separation. You see, when we sin, when we go astray, when we commit our crimes against God, we're denying the reality of that separation. And you know that feeling. It's like going into a muddy river. It's like returning to that coffin that we've been lifted from and putting those old, cold, stinking grave clothes back on. We're denying the division that has taken place. But here in Christ Jesus, we see that you are not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world. So I'm calling on you to see this division. To see the reality of who you are, the reality of your union with Christ Jesus, and to live out that reality. For our first step, we look at the very beginning of verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Our division from the world and our separation from the world, we've been given the word, and we understand that faith comes by the word of life, comes by hearing the word, being moved into this transition where you're a part of the kingdom of light. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness." That idea of being rescued from a dominion of darkness. Take a moment and think of the dominion of darkness. And we've all experienced it. We've experienced it from other people's sins, that dominion of darkness. And you've also experienced the dominion of darkness in your own sins. Think of those terms. Think of that darkness. Think of the coldness that results from being in sin. The coldness that flows in your heart where you know that you've been in rebellion against God. You've done it again. Here the scripture says, you've been rescued from that dominion. You've been pulled out of that darkness. You've been pulled out of that shadow. We may look and we may imagine ourselves having been assaulted by the kingdom of darkness. And Christ comes and he grabs us with one arm and pulls us aside. And he swings his shield around with the other side and protects us. It's not quite that. It's actually that we were members of that army warring against Christ. He comes and gives you a new heart, draws the line, picks you up, and sets you on the other side. He brings you from being a member of the kingdom of darkness, separating you to be with him in the kingdom of light. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. There's a story that I've enjoyed very much. It's actually a movie. And in this movie, this young man, he grew up in a dark, dark setting where his father was a cruel murderer. He was brought out of that setting and he was given to his grandparents. And as he grew in his teenage years, he finds himself in a setting where somebody looks at him and says, "I know you. I know who you are. I know your dad." And when that finger is pointed at him, you can see him just buckle down and bear down, and it's as if the shadow comes over him, that his past, where he's come from, who he was, his origin is on him, and he storms out of the room, and his friend goes after him, and his friend catches him, and he gets him, and he says, "Listen." And he tells him the story of his own father, his own father abandoning him, and he says, "The point of the story is, that's not me. That's not who I am." And he points at his friend and says, "And that's not who you are either. You're not this shadow that you've come from. You're not this shadow that you have been in. But you've been brought out of that darkness. You have been brought into the kingdom of light." This is the reality of the church. This is the reality of your assembly. This is the reality of who you are. Rescued from being a member of the kingdom of darkness. And we live this reality. The reality that Christ has given us. Now, our first move was division from the kingdom of darkness. Now, our second move is rescued and separated from destruction. John 17:12. "While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled." This word here, son of perdition, or the idea of the son of perdition, it's a Hebrew idiom for one destined to perish. Judas, he was going to perish. Judas, he was going to fall. It was told about in the Psalms. Psalm 41:9. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." One destined for destruction. Now that's a dark, heavy idea. We can look on this idea and we can lament and we can hate it. But that's not where you are. That's not the place in which you have been left. In Matthew 25:32-35, it gives us this amazing picture. "All the nations will be gathered before him." That's gathered before God. Take a moment and get that imagery in your head. All the nations gathered before him. I had the opportunity to be at the RP nursing home a few weeks ago, and I had my hat on. Well, Dick Weir looked at my hat and he said, "You know, one time I was stranded in Egypt." And so I was already excited about the idea of the story. And he said it was back in the 1940s. And he said, and Great Britain was bringing armies to get its armies together from all over the world. And he was describing seeing these soldiers coming in from India and these soldiers coming in from Africa. And he pointed at me and pointed at my hat and he said, "Even some blokes from Australia." And he said, they assembled these armies and he said, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of troops assembled to go against Hitler. And he's telling me this and I'm seeing it and he said, I rejoiced in seeing all their different uniforms from all their different armies from all over the world. And he's just marveling at the idea of the sea of people assembled there. All the nations will be gathered before him. This will be an amazing picture. this is going to be an amazing sight. And he will separate them from one another. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. So this great line is going to go down through this the middle of the sea of people. And they're going to be divided before the king. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." Verse 41 of Matthew 25. And he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." This great divide, this great destruction. Psalm 91 says, "You will stand, and you will see 10,000 undone at your side. But you will only look and see the destruction." And this is because of what we see in Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." You see that division? That division is that love that has been placed upon you. Now that love becomes the marker on us. That love becomes the demonstration. It divided us and it also unites us and it looks like something. Again, Matthew 25:35. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." This is that earmark. It's that demonstration of that separation from destruction. Love has been placed on you. And love then is our demonstration of our rescue. Our demonstration of that division of our lives. Now, this impacts the way that we live, but first and foremost, it has to impact the ways that we think, the ways that we feel. This is the way the reality is lived out. Now, the ways that we think, this is our third move, division in what we think. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Dwell on these things. Meditate on these things. Focus on these things. These things are where we place our attention. These things are where we focus. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge sin or see sin. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with sin. It doesn't mean that we don't wage the war. It means, though, that this is where our hearts default to. The things that are lovely. The things that are pure. The things that are good. Sadly, we live in a culture that's designed to get us to focus on anything and everything else. You have only to log on to a basic server and see the news that's put forward. And it's not what's good. It's not what is pure. It is not what is lovely. It is not the things that are of good repute. It is not the things that are worthy of praise. It's despicable things. It's darkness. It's shadow. But the scripture is saying here that as we have been divided from darkness, our default is that good stuff. The happy stuff, the blessed stuff, the things that God has given us. All good things, all blessings have been given from the Father of lights. And this is meant to be our default. There have been times in my life where I found that I was just with someone in a car or in some setting, and I had to struggle with conversation. I had to bring things up. And I had to look and see, did I bring up the things that were good? The things that were pure? The things that were lovely? The things that were of good repute? And this is meant to be, and this is commanded to be the reality of our lives. We see this. This is a division from the world. We see the default of the world. What's dark? What's shadow? What is death? What is sin? Is put before us. But here the scripture says the kingdom of light focuses on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is anything excellent, or any excellence, or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Now that's the focus on what we think. Now what we think influences the ways that we feel. The ways that we feel influences the ways that we act. And we see the reality of our lives is meant to be acting in accordance with Scripture. It's exciting to think that Jesus said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That means you are of Christ. You're joined to Christ. And the expectation then is that the ways that we will live is the way Christ lives. The way that we walk is the way that Christ walked. The way that we love is the way that Christ loved. And this brings us to the division of what we do. This is our fourth move. Division in what we will do. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress. Consider that idea. That's pure and undefiled religion. Visiting orphans and widows in their distress. Calling upon you to look at your religion now. You see pure and undefiled religion in your life. We could look back to Matthew 25 and the people that were cast away. Why were they cast away? They didn't visit. They didn't heal. They didn't care for. They didn't clothe. This is the reality of our lives, what we will do. Now the other side, there's the positive aspect, what we do. Now the other side is the things that we don't do. And to keep oneself unstained by the world. We know the idea of being stained by the world. We've done it. We know the feeling. Those things that we've embraced, those things that we've drunk deeply from, those things that we've gorged ourselves on, those shadows that we've slipped into where we think no one sees. That idea of being stained is real, isn't it? That feeling of being stained is real. But thanks be to God. But the reality of your life is that you have been washed. You have been cleansed. Washed, made whiter than snow. Given the robe of Christ's righteousness. And the call then is to live in accordance with that reality. That's a part of the unity of the church, is that separation, unstained from the world, and a heart and life committed to caring for orphans and caring for widows. Seeing this acted out in our lives. I'll tell you, it was an enormous blessing to go to the RP home. It was an enormous blessing to be with these older saints and their widows and their orphans there. That's who they are. We need to take a real look, and I invite one of you, or a team of you to come up with a plan to minister to the RP home and minister even to other nursing homes in the area, to visit these orphans, to visit these widows in their distress, that our religion would be a pure and undefiled religion, that we would live the reality of being in Christ Jesus, a division being committed as Christ has been committed. Now our next step in this division is being divided in what we say. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. That's a tough idea. If you've tried to practice it, or if you've ever implemented that in a home, you've experienced the blessing of that. I come from a background where it is love to punch someone. I don't know why. You know, that's the foothills of Appalachia. You hit the people you like. If Uncle Bill walked by and didn't punch you, you thought he was mad at us. That was just the reality of the way that we grew up. And also, in this twisted way, people tried to express love by making fun of each other and taking jabs at each other. It was imagined, I don't know, I guess they imagined, well, at least I said something to them. That's the only positive spin that I can put on the idea. But imagine a life, a family, a church, where we really shoot for that. To let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouths, but only such a word as is good for edification. I quoted this one time in a setting with some people when I said, that wasn't very edifying. And somebody said, edifying? Edifying? What are you, an edifice? Like, I wasn't allowed to use the word edifying or edifice or edification. That's the idea of building up. You know, we build each other up. We encourage one another. Another way to look at it would be what we see in Hebrews chapter 10, spurring one another on in love and in good deeds. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Isn't that beautiful? Giving grace to those that hear. To imagine or to realize that you are put in the place in life where you are able to go into a setting and give grace by what you speak. That you can build people up in every setting of life and encourage people in every setting of life. And this is a part of the division that you've received. And this is a part of the way that we're divided, and we divide by living this reality. And this brings us to our last step, coming from John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So that division, this is what shows that you're on the other side of the river. This is what shows that you are really a part of Christ, that you're really separate from the world. That you love one another. That is, you're committed to each other. That you build one another up. That you bestow grace upon one another. This is that great divide. This is how we're divided. We are divided by love. Divided because we have been loved in Christ Jesus. And divided by now the ways that we love one another. And the ways that we display love for the lost. So live this reality. Church united. Live the reality of how you have been divided by love. By loving as you have been loved. For this sums up all the law and the prophets. that you love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all of your strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. I call you to commit to this. To commit to this reality. And live this beautifully divided life. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for dividing us. Thank you for rescuing us from the dominion of darkness. Move in the hearts of your people to live this reality that you will be glorified. Thank you for your love and care and blessings. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 50.